Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Yud. We're going to begin three lines from the top with the words Tzibur Echot Shel Chometz. Today, we're learning the Shir Lili Nishma Sarah Fuchs Sarah Bat Ben Sion. All the Nishamas we learn for Shana Ben Aliyah. We've been discussing in the end of yesterday's Shir various cases regarding mixtures of chometz or concerns with chometz that are analogous to major dinim that are discussed elsewhere. We'll continue with that pattern today. And we begin, three lines at the top, Yud Omer Aleph. Tzibur Echot Shel Chometz. You have a pile of chometz, Lefan of Shnei Batim Bedukim, and it's in front of two houses that have each had Bedikas Chometz. And now our friendly mouse comes along, V'yosa Achbar V'shaka. And the Achbar takes this piece of chometz that you have in front of these two houses, and it enters one of the two houses, but we don't know which one. We don't know if it went into the first house or it went into the second house. It only went into one of the two houses, and now, therefore, one of the two houses potentially needs to have a new Bedikas Chometz done. So this is analogous to the famous story of the Shnei Shvilim. Hainu Shnei Shvilim. What is the story of the Shnei Shvilim? There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that we learned in the Mishnah in Taros, Shnei Shvilim, if there are two paths, and there is tumah on one of the two paths, and the dead body, Nebuch, that's there, is lying across the whole path. So if somebody went on that road, they're definitely going to be mahal over the tumah. So anybody going on the path that truly has the tumah is vaday going to become tumah. But they're two equally good paths. One has the tumah and one does not. So echot tumah ve'echot tar. Now, v'holach bi'echot mehen, a person went on one of the two paths, for also taharos, and afterwards, he made taharos. In other words, noga bitaros achakach. He dealt with, he touched taharos afterwards. So if he went on the path that was tameh, he was now matameh these taharos. If he went on the path that was tar, no problem. The taharos remain tar. Tosos points out, the top Tosos, hodinoka taharos, lo kamar odom. Why does it talk about the taharos? Why doesn't it talk about the person? Because Tosos says, because mishum delegavre, for people, Afagav the Mukmina law becheskas tahor. Even going to say that each of them, when they go on their own to ask the shaila, each of them is going to be considered tar. But here, if both of them were to touch something, so then the item definitely become tummy. So that's why it didn't give us the example of the person; it gave the example of the taharos that one of them touched. In any event, this is the halacha according to the famous Mishnah over here in Taharos of Shnei Shvilin. If the person went on one halach echad biham yosat taharos, and then another person went to bachaveiro and went on the other path, v'holach b'sheni v'osa taharos. Now these two taharos are two different taharos. So person A, Reuven, he went on path A. Person B, Shimon, he went on path B. And then each of them touched taharos. One of them definitely was tameh, the other one definitely was not. One of the taharos is definitely tameh, the other one is definitely not. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yehuda tells us, Im nishalu zeh b'fnei atzmo v'zeh b'fnei atzmo, if each of them went to their rav and asked the shaila, am I tar? Is the taharos that I touched, are they tar? Or the taharos that I touched, are they tameh? So if each one went individually, the psak halach would be, Rabbi Yehuda says that they are each considered tahorin. Why is that? This is based upon the famous rule Rashi tells us of sofek tumah b'shus harabim is tar. When a person has a doubtful situation, did he or did he not come into contact with something, so then if it occurred in a public area, so then the person would go sofek lekula, and if it's in a Rishus HaYachid, then we go Safik L'Chumra. This is based upon the dinim of Sota. So it doesn't go like the normal rule that we go by a Safik D'Araisa, we go L'Chumra. Here, there are dinim based upon Sota, which tells us in Rishus HaRabim, the din is Safik Tar, and in Rishus HaYachid, the din is a Safik that is, in this situation, going to be Tomei. Now, that's what Yehuda is saying if they came separately. Zeh Bifnei Atzmo, the Zeh Bifnei Atzmo. Then Tahorin. If, however, Shnei and Boy and Bevasachas, they both come together and say, listen, he went on that road, I went on this road, and now we touch Tyros, what's the din? So then, both of them are considered Tomei in this situation. As Rashi points out, in this situation, when both of them, Kishishneim, Shol, and Besoch, Kidei, Dibur, Tzorich, Atu, Lahoshiv, Lishneim, Ki Echad, you're obligated to go and tell them the answer together. They didn't have to ask it simultaneously, they're coming in right at the same time. Reuven says, the taharos tar, and Shimon says, the taharos tar. V'gabi batim nami, and therefore, this is analogous in our case with the mouse, so v'gabi batim nami, imbal lisho zeli asmo, v'zebifni asmo, if the owner of house A were to go ask a shayla, so then he would be told that his house doesn't require another bedika. Amrinu lei, l'kochad, you tell each of them, when the house B owner comes in and says, do I need a bedika? Separately, he's going to say, no, you don't need a bedika. Iyatar tzorich livdok. You'll tell each of them, you don't have to do bedika. Why? Because here, kivan the bedika is chomitz the rabbanon, talina l'kula. Here you can go l'kula. And we say, sveiko mutter. You don't have to do another bedika. However, ibevas achas bo bishnehen, if they both, however, come at the same time, tsrichim bedika, then the same answer would be that you have to go and tell them, no, sorry, each of you has to do bedika. In this situation, the taros have to be presumed to be tamei. Part of the understanding here, according to some of the farshim, is because how can he tell them that you're tar? Because he would be definitely saying something that is a sheker. One of them is definitely tamei, so if they both come together, he can't say that you're both tar, because in fact, both of you definitely are not tar. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbi Yossi says, ben kachu ben kach. Seemingly he's saying, whether they come together, or whether they come at separate times, tamein. You have to tell them that they're tamei, sofek daraisa lechumra. Now, Amar Rava, Vitem Rav Yochanan, Rava says, however, and others say it was Rav Yochanan, that's not the right understanding of Rav Yossi. In fact, Bevas Achas, Diriya Kol Tmein, everybody agrees, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, that if both of them come together, you have to tell them that their taras that they did are Tomei. And likewise, in the houses, the same case would be, if both of them come together, you have to tell them they both need a B'dikas Chametz. And both agree, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi both agree with the principle of Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, Sveikotar, and Safek Tumah Rishus HaYachid, Sveikotameh, so they both agree with that principle. Therefore, if they come, Bezeh Achar Zeh, if they don't come together, then, Divya Kol Tadhorin, then you're allowed to go tell them that they're Torah, both by the case over here of the Shnei Shvilin, and by the case of the houses over here, neither one would need a B'dikas Chametz. So where do Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi have a machlokas? Lo nechelku el babol yishol olav v'al chavero. The question is, when Reuven comes and he says, I got a shayla and I'm asking on behalf of my friend Shimon as well. I took this path and Shimon took that path. What is the halacha? Or in the case of the two houses, that Reuven, who owns the first house, says, listen, the mouse may have come into my house, but I'm also asking about my friend Shimon. They may have gone into his house. What's the halacha? So here's where the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi occurs. Rav Yossi says, "Medami le'lebas achas." Rav Yossi says, "No, you have to go luchumra in this situation. Both houses need a bedika, and the taros that both of you touch are going to, in fact, be tameh because in this situation, it's like you came bevas achas, like you came together, and I can't tell you that you're tar because one of you is definitely tameh." Whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, Rav Yehuda medami le'lezachazeh. He says, even though Reuven is asking on behalf of Shimon, he's first asking on behalf of himself, and then he's asking on behalf of Shimon, and we look at it as if they were coming one after the other, so both houses would not need bedika, according to Rav Yehuda, and both of the two people that went on the two different paths, the taharas that they touched would not be tamei, sveik, safik, tumah, b'rishus harabim, sveiko, tahar. Another case, Sofik al, Sofik lo al. You have a case over here where you have the mouse, our good friend the mouse, and Rashi tells us, Ro achbar shenotal chometz b'chotzer. The Abai is boduk. We see a mouse has a piece of chometz in its mouth, and it's standing right in front of a house. And then we lose track of where the mouse went. Veni Yodei, Rashi says, im nichnas o lo nichnas. We don't know, Sofik al, Sofik lo al. Did the mouse go into the house, and now obviously the house would require another bedika? Or did the mouse not go into the house, and therefore the house does not require another bedika? So this case is analogous to another famous case. Haino Bika. This is the case of the Bika. Rashi says, Habe Sodos Hasmuchim Yachad Kori Bika. You have a lot of different fields, which have clearly demarcated areas between one field to the next. So it's not one big field, but it's multiple fields, but it's called a Bika when all these fields are next to each other. And this is that case. Ubepluksa, Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbanan. And this goes in accord with the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. Now Rashi is going to say later on, that we are not gores these words over plukta Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanon, and for us to read it right now is not a problem, but we'll explain exactly what's going on in a second. If not, because we have a Mishnah in Taharos, again, similar idea to what we just had before, where we have Hanichnas Lebika, a person enters into a Bika, Bimos HaGishamim. Now during the Imos HaGishamim, the fields are planted, and therefore during the Imos HaGishamim, a Bika, all the fields, they have the status of being Rishus HaYochid. And as we just said, a Sofik Tumah Rishus HaYochid, Sveiko Tomei. As opposed to in the summer months, where people are allowed to walk over there because they're not going to destroy anything because you can see what's growing. So you walk around it. And therefore, in the summer months, Mimos HaChama, it actually has the status of being a Rishus HaRabim. Again, these usages of Rishus HaYochim, Rishus HaRabim are not in terms of Halachos Shabbos. They're specific here for Ilchus Tumah. You can have something that could actually be Rishus HaRabim in regards to Ilchus Shabbos and Rishus HaYochid in regards to Ilchus Tumah or vice versa. In any event, the Mishnah in Taras tells us, if a person enters his Bikkur during the rainy season, HaNichnas HaBikkur B'Yimosei Geshomim, the winter, V'Tumah B'Sodeh Plonis, and one of these fields, as we just said, the Bikkur is made up of multiple separately demarcated fields. One of the fields, let's say the four fields there, one of the fields has Tumah inside of it. There's a grave. There's Tumas ohel that you were concerned about, that you're going to walk, when you walked, that you passed over this grave. Betumah besod deplonis. One of the fields has tumah, the other fields do not. And the person enters through this bikka, and he comes out the other end of the bikka. And the person says, Yom Recha, this guy that goes through this says, Holachti b'mokom alaz, I went through the bikka. However, v'en yodeim nichnasti b'osu asada v'imlo nichnasti. I don't know if I went to the field that had the kever in it, or I didn't go into the field that had the kever in it. So here we have the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer, who is Mitar, and the Chacham Mitamin. So Rabbi Eliezer Mitar, Rabbi Eliezer says the Mitar, we'll explain in a moment why, the Chacham Mitamin. Shoy Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi says, this is Sofek Bia Tar, there's a double machlokus over here. This isn't just a simple Sofek Tumah Bershus Hayochet, therefore Sveiko Tome. No, we have over here, did you or did you not enter into the area? That's Sofek number one. And then, even if you entered into the field, of the, let's say, the four fields in this bikka that had the tumah, you maybe or maybe not entered into the one field that has the kever in it. But even then, maybe or maybe not, you passed over it and were mile over the kever when you walked through that field. So it's a svek, sveko, Rashi explains. So double suffolk over here. Number one, maybe you didn't go into this field. And number two, even if you went into the field, in this situation, you may not have passed over the grave. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds a svek sveka, takes us out of the normal rules of sofek tumah b'rishus hayachid, sveko tame, and the svek sveka says sveko tohar, because it's sofek bia, and also sofek mahil, so therefore, tohar. However, Rabbi Eliezer agrees, sofek maga tumah tame, but if there's only a doubt, you definitely went in there, and did you or did you not touch something that's tame, so then, sofek tumah b'rishus hayachid, sveko tame. The Chacham's opinion isn't explained by the Gemara, but the Chacham is obvious. The Chacham say, no, there's no difference between this entering into the bikka or saying you entered the field. They consider this all one entity. So here, it's just a question. Sofek tumah b'rishus hayochid sveiko tame. Did you or did you not pass over the grave? Not did you or did you not go into the field and then did you or not pass over the grave? It's did you go and pass over the grave? It's only one question. Therefore, the Chacham say, the regular rule applies. Sofek tumah b'rishus hayochid sveiko tame. Another case, all ubadak v'lo ashkach. What happens over here? Rashi explains, we're dealing with an achbar, nichnas l'bayis l'fanenu. An achbar went into the house, and it carried chametz in. So the house required another bedika. Ubadak balabayis achrav. And the balabayis did a bedika v'lo ashkach. And he didn't find this chametz that the achbar brought in. So here, this is machlokis between Plukta de Rav Meir Rabban. This is machlokis that we're going to see in a Mishnah in Nida between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. What is this machlokis? We learned the Mishnah over there in Nida. Rashi explains the Mishnah there in Mesachas Nida is talking about Gal Tome. You have a heap Nebuch that has a person buried underneath it. Shinis Ariv im Shnei Galin Tahorin. And it gets mixed up. We don't know which building is which between these other buildings that collapse, and they did not have a mace underneath them. So you have these three piles of rubble, and you have a person possibly buried underneath one of them, but we don't know which one. So Badku Echemim, they check the first one out, Vinim Tatar, they don't find the body over there, so everything that was under there, Hutar, Vushnaim Tmeim, and the other two, you have to presume, are Tmeim, if somebody passed over them. But you then check the second one, Shnaim Umatsam Tahorin, you now check the second one, and it's also Tar, so these two are Tahorin, Vashlishi Tomei. The first two are tar, and only the third one is tameh. But now you check the third one, and you checked all three now, and shloshtan umetzah and tarim kulan tameh. And you don't find anybody, but then all three then have to be tameh, paradoxically. Because here we have Shayu Rav Meir Omer, koldovish b'cheskas tumah la'olam hi b'tum osa. It remains tameh ad shivada loch tumah heichon hi, until you know where the tumah went. That's the opinion of Rav Meir in this Mishnah in Nida, in Maseches Nida, and the Chacham tell us that no, just got to go check until you get to virgin ground. If you reach the rock at the bottom, or you reach ground that certainly has never been disturbed, so you know that the mace isn't there. So, mustama, nitla ba'achbar, it must have been that this piece of mace was taken away by an animal, by a mouse, and therefore, there in that situation, come and stay your tar. Now, let's look inside. Now we see the tan that we learned in the Mishnah over there in Nida. Hi, Rabbi Meir said about that case with the three gals called Dovish Becheskas Tumah. Anything that was a chazaka of Tumah, we know that there was a dead person there. There was a piece of mace over there. Lo olam hu b'tumah. So you have to assume it's tamei. Achivad l'cha tumah hechanu he, until you know where the tumah went. And therefore, in our case with the mouse going inside the house, so until you find that piece of chametz, you have to presume that there is chametz still in the house. Chacham disagree. Chacham amrim no. Bodek Achi Magila Sela Olikarka Besula. In the Mishnah Nida, it tells us that they just have to go check until they reach rock ground, until there's no way that the mace is underneath that, Olikarka Besula, until they reach virgin territory. In other words, it wasn't ever plowed, it wasn't ever broken, and you can tell that, and therefore, obviously, a achbor or another animal pulled away the mace. So just like over there, you can assume that the mace is no longer here. So too, if you don't find the piece of chametz in the house, you assume either the achbor ate it or it dragged it outside or something else happened to it. It's no longer there. Similarly, what about ol ubadak v'ashkach? Here we have the similar case where the mouse went into the house. You have to now do a new bedikah. You do a new bedikah, and Baruch Hashem, you find the piece of chametz. All you went in, the mouse went into the house. Ubadak, you did a bedikah. V'yashkach, and you find the piece of chametz that's in the house. Now, can you assume it's the same chametz that the mouse brought in? So this is Pluksa the Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. This is machlokes that we have in a brisa between Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel. What is that? Sade Shenever Bad Kever. We have Nebuchadnezzar field that somebody died in, and there was a burial. There was a kever over there, and now we don't know where in the field this kever is. So Nevad Bar Kever. There is a grave someplace in this field, but we don't know where. So anybody who's going through this field potentially is a mile over the grave, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So Hanichnas Lesocha. If somebody enters into this field, maybe they passed over the grave. So you have to say that the Tomei. So what do? You go and dig up the field and look, try to look for the grave. Nimtza bar kever, if you find a grave. So now, hanichla l'socha tara, anybody walks in any other part of the field, well, we found our grave, and therefore the rest of the field is tar. That's because we assume, shani omer, kever sha'avad hu kever shenimtza divri rabbi. Rabbi is of the opinion that we have the right halachically to say that the grave that we found is the one grave that we know that was lost over there. So too, in the case of the achbar, we find chametz now in the house that was previously baduk. So we can assume the achbar brought this piece of chametz in, and I found, Baruch Hashem, this piece of chametz. It's like the grave. There was one grave there. We now found the grave, mestama. It's the grave that was there, and the rest of the field is tar. And therefore, we can assume the rest of the house is baduk as well. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Shimon Galil disagrees. Shimon Galil, no. You can't stop and not check the rest of the field. Maybe there were two graves over here. Maybe there really was another person that we didn't know about. And you found that other grave. But the grave that we knew about is still here someplace. So Shimon Gamliel says, you got to keep on checking. So too, in the case of the achbar bringing into the mouse. Okay, you found the piece of chametz. Who says that that was the piece of chametz that the mouse brought in? Maybe it was another piece of chametz, and the piece of chametz that the mouse brought in is still here. You got to keep on checking. Next case. Hiniach teisha. A person put down 9 pieces of chametz. Let's say he saved them for the next morning, Rashi explains. And now he goes to eat breakfast the next morning. So then, matzah eser. And now he finds 10 pieces over there. So this too is a machlokes, pluksa de Rebbe v'Rabbanon. This is a machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanon. What is that? The Tanya. Because the Brisa says, he niach money. This is analogous to a case where a person put money. It is Maisa Sheni funds. Rashi explains, this is Maisa Sheni funds. So Maisa Sheni, he put in a mana, a certain amount of Maisa Sheni funds in a box. And then after he goes to the box, he finds there's $200 in there now. He put in $100 of Maisa Sheni money, he finds $200. So what do we say? Do we say that an additional 100 of chulin was added on to our original 100 of Maiser Sheni, and this is a combination of Maiser Sheni and chulin? Or do we say, no, somebody took out the 100 of Maiser Sheni, and somebody else put in 200 of chulin, and therefore this is all chulin? So this is machlokus in Rebbe and Rabbanan. So the Braisa says, if you did this, hiniach mon and motzim asayim, so this is chulin u'maiser sheni morav zebezeh divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, your original 100 of maiser sheni is there, and somebody else added, you added, well, you forgot, and you added another 100. So you have to assume that this is a taruvus, this is a mixture of 100 of maiser sheni and 100 of regular chulin, and you'll spend all of it in Yerushalayim as maiser sheni. In this situation, Rashi says, "Umevi sloyim b'shavim mana." You have to go and exchange it on coins that are worth 100. For Omer, that's the mana. For Omer, koma kom shem mos ma'aser sheni harehei mechulolim ala sloyim halolu umala sloyim liushalayim. So you don't know which of these two 100s that you have over here is the ma'aser sheni. So you go and be mechalalit. You remove the kedusha from whichever one it is and put it on something else. Tosu says, I don't know why Rashi was dochak, b'pchinon pirish kain. Why did Rashi have to go and give us the case of another 100? Minayu gufa hayyacholikach shir mos meiser. He could have taken these 200 and said, this 100, if it was the original 100 of meiser, I'm bringing it up to Yerushalayim. And if the other one was the original 100, I'm being mechalad on this 100. Okay. In any event, that's what you have to do. They're considered both a taruvus over here of meiser 100 and chulin 100, and therefore Rebbe's opinion is you have to go and you're allowed to say that the original 100 is still here. And in analogous case, with the Teisha, and now you have 10, you can assume that the original 9 here, and just there's one extra piece of Chametz that came into play. That's the opinion of Rabbi. Chachamim disagree. Chachamim, no, Hakol Chulin. We have to assume that your original 100 was taken away, and this 200 is all new Chulin. And the original 100 of Ma'aseh Sheni is no longer here. So too in the case when you put out 9 pieces, and now you find 10, the opinion of the Chachamim is, you have to assume that the original 9 that you put out are all gone, and these 10 are all new 10, and you're going to have to look for the other 9. Vice versa, the Gemara says, what happens if Hiniach Eser? If you put out 10, and now you only find 9, Umatzah Teisha. So this is the end of that price. Hainu Seifa, where they continue, Rebbe and the Chachamim, the Tanya, Hiniach Masayim, if you put 200 mana of Ma'aseh Sheni into a box, Umatzah Mana, and now you only find 100. You originally had 200 of Ma'aseh Sheni, and now you only have 100. So the opinion of Rebbe is, Mana Munach, you can assume that 100 of the original 200 is still there, Umana Mutal, and somebody else took one of the 100 of Ma'aseh Sheni, and it's gone. Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says, just like before, you can assume that this was part of the original 200. But the Chacham disagree. Chacham again say, the Chacham Rim, Hakol Chulin. No, you have to assume that somebody took out the original 200, and now they replaced it with 100. So too in the case of where you put out 10, and now you only find 9, so then you have to assume, according to Rebbe, that 9 of the original 10 are here, and there's only 1 that's lost. And according to the opinion of the Chachamim, no, the original 10 that you put out are all gone. And now you have 9 here, you still have to go look for the original all 10. We turn to the Amud Beis, Yud Amud Beis, and we have the last of all these interesting cases where we make comparisons between the Chametz and someplace else in Shas. So, Hiniach Bezov Ezu, Umotz Bezov Ezachares, he put a piece of Chametz in a certain corner, Bezov Ezu, and then he comes back later on and he finds the piece of Chametz in another corner. Now, how did it get there? So this, the Gemara says, is Pluks of the Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel Rabbanon. This is a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel and the Rabbanon elsewhere in the following brayse of the Tanya. And there they're talking about Tumas Kalim. If you have Kalim in your house and somebody comes into your house and you don't know what their status was and they touched your Kalim, so you then have to be concerned that maybe they were in Tama your Kalim. And it says in the brayse of the Tanya, Kardum, if you have an axe, Sha'avim B'vayis, it's no longer in your house. You knew you had a house that had an axe in it, and now you can't find your axe, so you have to assume that somebody came into your house and touched everything, and therefore, habayis tamei, all the utensils that you have in your house, Rashi says, kol klei habayis tameim. Why? Shani omer, adam tamei nichnas l'sham, u'mishamish b'kol klei habayis. Whoever stole my axe, so they also, mustafa, touched all my other utensils. And that, therefore, makes everything tamei. That is the opinion of the Tana Kama. Shani omer, Adam Tomei Nichnas L'Sham Unatolo. The Chacham said that somebody came in there and touched everything when they took the axe. On the other hand, the Rishon Gamaliel Omer, no. Habayis Tar, all the utensils in the house are Tar. Why? Because what I say is, Shani Omer, Hish'ilo Li'acher V'Shochach. I gave my axe to somebody, and I forgot that I gave it to them. Or alternatively, Oshana Tomei Zav Ezu, or I took my axe from this corner, V'niach B'Zav Ezacheres, and I put it in the other corner, and V'Shochach. And then I forgot that I put it over there. So that's how it got from one corner to the other. The Gemara says, well, Zovis, man, the Karshmei. Whoa, where did we come into Zovis? We're talking about an axe in the house, and how did we suddenly get to one corner, the other corner? Where's that coming from? What is the Mishum Gamaliel telling us? The Gemara says, you're right. The Brice is missing some words, and these are the words that are missing. The Brice starts as follows. Kardom sh'ovid rabayis. If you had an axe in the house, and now you can't find it, so the Tanakhama says, the Chacham Mod, habayis tamei. The house, all the utensils in the house are considered tamei. We assume that the person who stole your axe also touched all the utensils. Shani Omer. Adam tamei nichlas. A Tomei Dika person came in. The Ganav wasn't strict on Hilchos Tumah V'Tara. He came into the house, stole your axe, and he touched all your kalim when he took out your axe. Unatolo. Or Shohinicho Bezov Ezu Mitzoso Bezov Ezacheres. Or another case. That's the Chesurim Esra. The owner said, I remember putting the axe over here in the left corner, and I come back later on, and I find it in the right corner. So, again, the Tanakhama, the Chacham say, Habayis Tamei. You have to assume that the house is all Tamei, because whoever moved the axe from the corner on the left to the corner on the right, Shani Omer, Adam Tamei, Nichnas Shom, a Tamei Dika person came into the house, and when he moved your axe, he also touched all the utensils there. When the Tolos Mizov Ezu, Vinicha Mizov Ezacheres. When he moved the axe from one corner to the other corner, he Mistama touched all your other Kalim as well. The Tanakhama now gives us the case, with the Chesurim Masra, of both the axe being stolen or the axe being moved. And that's why, Aniyome, you have to say that another person came into the house who was Tamei and stole the axe or moved the axe. And therefore, he touched all the utensils and everything is Tamei. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Habayis Tor. He says all the utensils of the house are in fact tar. Why? Shani Omer, because one has the right halachically to say Hishilo Liachav Shochach. He in fact the axe wasn't stolen. He gave it to his friend Yankel, and he just forgot that he gave it to Yankel. And I said, "Where's my axe? Where's my axe? Somebody came into my house and stole it." No, in fact, you have the halachic right to say. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that he gave the axe, he lent the axe to a friend, and he just forgot about it. Or alternatively, he had put it, the axe in the left corner, and now he comes back, it's in the right corner, he forgot that he himself moved it. He forgot that he moved it. So therefore, in this situation, the house utensils are all tahar. And this is exactly analogous to the case of he had chametz in the left corner, and now he finds it in the right corner. So the Tanakam would say, oh, you have to assume that a mouse moved it, and this is new chametz that you're finding in the right corner, and you have to go look the bedikah for the old chametz, as opposed to Rav Shimon Gamliel say, no, one has a halachic right to say that this is the same chametz, and therefore you don't have to do a bedikah. The person himself must have moved it without remembering, and that's how the chametz got from the left corner into the right corner. That concludes this series of comparisons between a chametz case and a famous case throughout Shas. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Achbor nichnas v'kikor b'fiv. If a mouse comes into a house and it has a loaf of bread in its mouth, it's carrying chametz into the house. The nichnas achrov, so you go run into the house after the mouse, trying to catch the mouse before it gets rid of the chametz. The nichnas achrov umotza perurim, and you see crumbs all over the floor. So is this the same loaf of bread that the mouse came into the house with, and it just crushed everything, and therefore we Baruch Hashem found the chametz, and you don't have to do any more bedikah? Or do we say no? This is separate, these crumbs, and the mouse has the piece of chametz and has hidden it someplace else in the house, and you have to do a bedikah. So Rava says tzarich bedikah. You can't assume that the crumbs that you have on the floor are the same, are coming from the loaf that the mouse brought in, the kikor that the mouse brought in. Why? B'nei she'ein darko shalachbo lefareh, because mice don't make crumbs. They eat, but there aren't going to be a lot of crumbs there. They'll eat any of the crumbs. So therefore, the mouse case, in this situation, you have to assume that the crumbs are separate from the kikor, and you have to go look for the kikor. Similarly, Yom Rava, if you have a tinok, nichnas kikor b'yado, when your kid comes into the house, you just did the b'tikas chametz, and the kid runs in with a cookie all over the place. And now you find, and you run after the kid, and nichnas achav v'motza pirum, you see crumbs all over the floor. Ain't tzarich bedikah. Here you don't have to do bedikah because kids make a mess. Because the kid is going to make a ton of crumbs when he eats something. So one can assume that the kid ate the rest of the cookie and all the crumbs that are here are the part of the cookie that he didn't eat. You don't have to go say, well, these are crumbs from a separate instance and there's a cookie someplace in the house that's intact. By Rava, based upon these, Rava asks now the following shaila. Ach bor nichnas v'kikor b'fiv. A mouse comes into your house, nebuch, it's carrying chametz, and you did a bedikah, and then v'ach b'yotze v'kikar b'fiv. A few minutes later, an hour later, you see a mouse leaving with a kikar in its mouth. So, do we or do we not say it's the same mouse? Mahu. Mi amrinan, haynu hay da'al, v'haynu hay da'nothak. This same mouse that came in, which I saw the kikar in its mouth, is the same mouse that I'm seeing with a kikar in its mouth. So therefore, Baruch Hashem, it brought the chametz in, but then it took the chametz out. Or do we say, oh no, Dilma, I'm not such a bucky on the mice over here. Oduma achrino, it's a different mouse. And, okay, great, one mouse brought in chametz, and one mouse took out chametz, but who says it took out the same chametz, and this is a different mouse, and I therefore still have to do a bedikah looking for the original mouse's chametz? That's the question that Rava asked. Now, let's assume, Im Timsiloma, when we ever have a style of Im Timsiloma, it says, let's assume that the answer is one of the two ways. And normally we paskin like the Im Timsiloma, that's why we go through it. So Im Timsiloma, if you want to say, Hainu Hai Da'al, Hainu Hai Da'nofak. Yeah, the mouse that came in is Mistoma, the mouse that came out. Statistically speaking, the likelihood of the mouse being the same is probably high. So therefore, this is the same mouse with the loaf of bread that it came in with. It's the same mouse that's leaving with the loaf of bread. Let's assume that. So even if you assume that, what about Achbor lova nichnas v'kikor b'fiv, a white mouse came in with its loaf of bread in its mouth, but achbor shocha yodse v'kikor b'fiv, and a black mouse leaves with this kikar in its mouth, or what I think might be this kikar in its mouth. Mahu, that's the question. So, assuming it was the same white mouse that went in and the white mouse that left, I can assume, im timtilom, we can assume that that's the case, that it's the same piece of bread. However, mahu, in this situation, do we say, hai vade achrino, hey, there's a white mouse and then it was a black mouse, so these are two different mice, definitely two different kikars, and I gotta go look for the first white mouse's kikar that came in because the black mouse that came out with a kikar definitely took out a different kikar. Or do we say, no, Dilma, armuye armimine, hey, they got into a fight, and Rashi says, hishlicho mimenu, the black mouse forced the white mouse to go give up its bread. Unatalo, and the black mouse took the white mouse's piece of bread. And therefore, it's the same chametz. And therefore, odumo armui arme minei. And therefore, I don't have to do a bedikah because Baruch Hashem, the chametz kamim is now going out. So again, the im timse lomar, if we want to assume over here, achbarim lo shoklim yadodi, mice don't fight. The white mouse is not going to be attacked by the black mouse. The black mouse is not going to take the white mouse's chametz. No, each mouse keeps its own stuff. The mice don't fight. Therefore, if I see a black mouse coming out, I have to assume it's a different piece of chametz. Let's assume that. Im timse lomar, achbarim lo shoklim yadodi, the mice don't fight with each other. What about the following scenario? Achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv, I see a mouse going inside and it has a kikar of chametz in its mouth. The chulda yotzar, a weasel. Now, weasels fight with mice. They eat mice. The chulda yotzar, the kikar b'fia. And the chulda has a piece of chametz. It has a kikar in its mouth. Here, what do I assume? Okay, the mice won't steal one mouse from the other. But ma'u, in this case, chulda vade me'achbor shakalte. Do I say, yeah, the chulda destroyed the mouse and took the kikar? Or dilma, no, achrino, because I have to assume that it's not the same piece of chametz, because if it was the same piece of chametz, he wouldn't come out just with the chametz. The emisa, the miach b'shkalte, if he took it from the mouse, he'd also come out with a dead mouse. Achbar b'fia, havi mishtakach. He'd rather have the mouse in his mouth than the kikar, right? Or he'll have both. So therefore, if the weasel comes out just with chametz, so then I have to assume it's a different piece of chametz. The weasel never caught the mouse with the chametz, and there's a different piece of chametz. Or no, do we say no, that he made the mouse drop the kikar, and the chulda picked it up. Now, v'im timtzi lomar, emisa de me'achbo shekalte, achbo b'fiyah havi mishtakach. So let's assume that no, there's no way that the weasel would just have the chametz in its mouth. If the weasel took it from the mouse, it would have taken the mouse as well. So therefore, let's assume that if you only find the weasel with the piece of chametz in its mouth, that it's not the same piece of chametz, and you have to do another bedika. So, in this situation, im timse lomar, that you do in fact say that the achbar would be in the mouth of the weasel, if it was the piece of bread that he took from the mouse, he would also take the mouse as well. So what happens, achbar nichnas v'kikar piv, if you have an achbar that went into the house and a kikar was in its mouth, and then the chulda yotza, the kikar, the achbar b'fi chulda. And now you come out and you have the kikar in the mouth of the weasel, and also the achbar in the mouth of the weasel. Mahu. What's halacha in this situation? Here, do we say hocha vada ihu? No, this is the same piece of chametz that the mouse had, and the mouse dropped it, and when the weasel killed the mouse, he then picked up the kikar separately, and he now has the kikar that originally was in the mouth of the mouse, and the mouse in the weasel's mouth. And therefore, hocha vada ihu, and you don't have to do bedikah in the rest of the house. Or do we say no? If this was the same piece of bread that the mouse brought in, so what we would have expected to find is the mouse in the mouth of the weasel, and the bread in the mouth of the mouse. Because why would the mouse have dropped it? The weasel killed it, and the kikar is still there. And the weasel says, I got both, so I'm not going to put it in my mouth. I'll leave it in the mouse's mouth, and I'll take them both to wherever I'm going to take them to eat them both. Or, Oduma, Emisa, the Uniu, if it's the same loaf of bread, Kikar, Befi Achbar, Mishtakach, Havaboy, Ishtakuchai. If this really was the same Kikar that the mouse came in with, we would still find the Kikar in the mouth of the mouse. The fact that it's in the mouth of the weasel tells me that it's a different piece of bread. Oduma, do we say no? Mishum Biasusahu, Nafaushkalte. No, the mouse was terrified, and it dropped the bread, and then it was killed by the weasel, and the weasel then took the mouse, and it also took the bread in its mouth, and that's why it's separate. So here we don't come to an answer, Teiko. Again, we're trying to understand the halachic principles over here, and that's why we set this up in Timtzi Lomar. If this were to occur, we're trying to understand the basis behind the halacha. Next, Bai Rava. Rava asked the following shayla. Kikar b'shmei korah. We had this earlier in the Masechta. Rashi had brought this down earlier. Kikar b'shmei korah. If you have a loaf of bread that's on top of a beam. Now, you normally don't go and find things on the top of a beam in the middle of Pesach, because that's not where you're normally going and looking. So this is considered something that not necessarily is you're going to go and find shemam yimso gluska yofa, that you're going to find a nice piece of chametz in the middle of Pesach, and you're going to go and eat it. Here, it's all the way up on top of a beam. So Tzarech Sulam Lorida, and you need a ladder to go and take it down. So, do you have to go and do a bedika up there? Oh, ain't no tzarech. Or you don't have to do a bedika up there because you're not going to go and look up there on Pesach. Do we say, Miyamrin on Kulei Hayelo Achichu Rabbanon? The rabbis did not make a person be matriach to go and check on the beams. Why? Since you're not going to go up there on Pesach, so therefore there's no chance that you find a nice piece, and therefore it's enough with bitul bi'al masagi. It's enough to just do a bitul. You don't have to do a bidika up there. Or alternatively, we say, no. Odilma, you know what? Zimnim denofa. The house could shake a little bit. The kids are jumping, whatever it may be. And denofa, this nice piece of chometz that you have on top of the beam, is now going to fall down. And you're going to find it. Shema yimsa glusku yofa. But you're also lamechle. And you're going to come to eat it. So that's the question that Rava asked over here. Do you not have to do a bedika for kikar up in the Shmei Korah to check to see if you have any bread up there on the top? Vimtim silomar zimnim denofa v'yosei lamechle. Again, let's assume that the answer is that, yeah, it does sometimes fall down, and therefore you have to go up there and do a bedika to make sure there's nothing up there. What about the following scenario? Kikar bebar, if you have a kikar in a pit, now, tzorech sula malosa, you'd have to go and bring a ladder to go down into the pit. So do you have to go and do the bedika and bring the ladder down and look in the pit? Oh, ain't no tzorech, or do you not have to do it? What are the two sides over here? There's no way it's going to fall up on its own. Gravity is going to make possibly this kikar fall down from the top if there's jumping, if there's movement, and it could fall down. But there's no way chometz at the bottom of the pit is going to fall up, right? That goes against the natural laws, and therefore you don't have to go and be matriach to take a sulam to go look down there, to take a ladder and go all the way to the bottom of the pit. Or do we say no? You may have some need to go down into the pit on Yontif that you didn't think about, and you're going to end up forgetting that it's Pesach, and you're going to eat it or bring it into your possession, and therefore you have to do Bedika, because this would be a case of Shema Yimtzor Gluska Yofa. You may come to find it. Now, the gersha that we have is, let's assume that the halacha is Im Timtze Lomar Zimnim Denochis Lutzorkei V'Yosei Lemichlei. Let's assume, according to the gersha that we have, that we are assuming that the person does sometimes have the potential to go down to the pit, and therefore we make him do bedika. Rashi is saying that we shouldn't be goris the words im timsi lom over here, and he says this is a separate case. It's just that it's the following case. In any event, whether you say im timsi lom like some do, or you not goris it like Rashi, the next case is as follows. Kikar b'fi nochosh. You have a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, that's in the mouth of a nochosh. Now, it's in your possession. Do we say tzorech chabar lohotzi? You have to go and do a bedika. In other words, you got to get a snake charmer to go, and that's a chabar, and have him charm the snake and remove the bread from the snake's mouth. Oh, wait, not sorry. Oh, you don't have to do this. What's the two sides of the coin over here? Begufi atchuchu rabbanon. In your own body, the chacham said, you got to go and do all the things. However, b'mamone, but with your money, lo atchuchu rabbanon. The rabbis didn't make you spend money over here to go and hire this chabar, this snake charmer, to go and have the snake release the chametz. So again, for yourself, you got to do everything. But to spend money, the rabbis did not make you do so. Or who said? No, the rabbi said, you have chametz potentially in your possession. You got to go hire a snake charmer to go rid of the chametz that's in the snake's mouth. So the Gemara says, take it. We don't come to an answer. This concludes this series of questions. And we now go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, we had actually alluded to this Mishnah before. This was the Sefer from yesterday's shir. This is the Mishnah that we said that we get to on Yud Amud Beis. Reuda tells us, Botkin Or Abar Asor. You have to do a Bedikas Chametz on Or Arba Asor. That was also we had previously in the Masechta that we showed that this means that you do it at nighttime. Bedavka Or over here means at the nighttime because the next words are Ube Arba Asor Shachris. Reuda says you have to do another Bedika the following morning at Shachris time, and you have to do one more Bedika. He says you have to do three Bedikas, Ubishas Abir, at the time that you're getting rid of the Chametz. At the end of the fifth hour, you have to get rid of all your chametz. You're not allowed to own any chametz, midi rabbanon. In the sixth hour, so you do the dir chametz, you have to do a bedika then as well. So Reb says there are three times that you have to do bedika as chametz. That's a simple understanding of the Mishnah, both at the night of your dalet, in the morning of your dalet, and before or at the start of the sixth hour when you're also midi rabbanon to own any chametz in your possession. The Chachamim disagree. Chachamim mean only one of those. You have to do the bedika on your dalet at night. But if you didn't do the bedika at night, so then you still have time. You still have time to do it in the morning. No, you didn't do it early in the morning. So then you still have time to do it. If you didn't do bedika in the time that you're supposed to, you still have to look for chametz even during yantiv. You have to do bedika chametz on yantiv because shema yimtza glusku yofa, you're going to eat it. And even lo bodak besocha moed, even if you didn't do bedika chametz during the moed, yivdok liachar moed, you have to still do bedika after yantiv because chametz shavah as a pesach midi rabbanon is also. So you have to go see if you had any chametz that inadvertently you had in your possession. So the chachamim disagree with Yehuda. On the surface, they disagree with them. A, Yehuda said you have to do it three times. Chachamim say no, you don't have to do it three times. You have to do it once. But Rav Yehuda says you only do it up until the time of the Shas Bir, and the Chum say no, you could even do it on Yontif or even do it after Yontif if you didn't do it. No, what about the chametz that you left over after you did the dika on your dalit at night? Umash Mashayir, we had this previously as well. You should put it in a very safe place because if you can't find it afterwards, you have to be concerned that a mouse or weasel came and moved it from one place to the other, and you're going to have to do another bedika. So the cereals, the bread that you're saving for the following morning, your dalit in the morning, when you have it on your dalit at night after you do the bedika, put it in a secure place, in a very safe place, so you don't have to worry that an animal or a child is going to come and take it, and now you're going to have to do the bdik again. So Gemara starts off and says, my time of the Rav Yehuda, what's the understanding over here, Rav Yehuda, that says you have to make three bdikos? That's the simple understanding of Rav Yehuda. So Rechiz, the Rabbi Rav Huna, they both said, the Amri Tavayu, that it's keneged shalosh hashbaso shibatorah. We have three times it tells us that we have to do hashbaso, you have to do tashbis, you have to get rid of the chametz. So keneged these three times, you do three bedikos mid the rabbanon, and it's a smachta, because again, bedikos chametz is a din the rabbanon. So it says, lo yirichol chametz, lo yirichol se'or, that's number one, you're not allowed to have chametz. Number two, shivas yomim sor lo yimotzi batechem, you're not allowed to have chametz in your house. And number three, ach b'yom harishon tashbisu sor mi batechem. So it says three times in these psukim, you got to get rid of your chametz. So Rav Yehuda says, we darshan on here, and a smachta, you have to do bedikos chametz three times, you dalit at night, you dalit in the morning, and at the shas biur. However, Rav Yosef doesn't like this pshat. Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says there's a brisa that it seems to disagree with our understanding of Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. What does the brisa say? The brisa tells us that Rav Yehuda holds, Rav Yehuda Omer, kol shelo badak bishlosha prokem halalu, if you didn't do bedika during these three times, shuv eino bodek, you can't do the bedika anymore. Now, that seems to imply that Rav Yehuda's opinion is that you have to do the bedika during one of these three times, not all of these three times. And his whole machlokas with the Chacham is, if you didn't do the bedika by the Shas Habiur, then you can't do bedika anymore. Shuvenu Baldik. Alma, we see from this expression, b'mikan v'elechu d'pligi, it's only after the Shas Habiur. He disagrees. He says you don't do bedika on Yontif, and you don't do bedika after Yontif, as the most of the Chacham that say you do. That they're only arguing on this. Now, this isn't as clear. It's implied. So we have Mazutra Masnihochi. Mazutra said that Rav Yosef asked the question in the following way. Masav Rav Yosef, it says, Rav Yehuda Omer, kol shelo bodak bi echad mishlosha prokem alalu. Here he says, beferish. Before the Girsa was, kol shelo bodak mishlosha prokem alalu. Here he says, kol shelo bodak bi echad mishlosha prokem alalu halalu. If you didn't go and do one of these three things, too late. Shuvena bodak, it's too late to do. Clearly, according to this version, it's absolutely clear. Alma b'shuv eino bodek u'dipli. He's only arguing the chachamim about whether you do bedikos during Pesach or do you do bedikos after Pesach. The chachamim say yes, you still have to do it if you didn't do it beforehand. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, you have to do it either on the night of the 14th or on the morning of the 14th or by the time of the biur, but not after that. So clearly, that can't be the understanding. Rabbi Yehuda says, according to Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna, that you have to do it three times. So what is the right understanding? Ella, Rabbi Yehuda Nami. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees. Imlo bodakamai. Rabbi Yehuda is also telling us, if you didn't check at the night of the 14th, then check the morning of the 14th. And if you didn't check the morning of the 14th, check at the time of the beer. And what are Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum arguing about? Exactly as we just said. This is what they're arguing about. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you only do a bedika when there was something to benefit from it, so to say, that if you find something, you can be mavatil, eat it, or throw it away, destroy it. So before this man of the Isser, it pays to do a bedika. After that, what's the point in doing a bedika? Zera, and in fact, it's dangerous to do a bedika, like the Chum say, because Dilma Asi Lamechamine. Hey, you're going to do a bedika as chametz, and you're going to forget yourself, and you're going to eat the chametz that you find. So therefore, he says, don't do bedikas, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbanu Sabri Lo Gazrina, and the Chachamim say, we don't make such a gzera. In fact, in this situation, if you didn't do the bedika before the Zman of Isser, then do it during the Zman of the Isser. And you know why? Because the Rabbanu say, the guy's doing bedikas chametz. There's no concern that he's going to forget that he's doing bedikas chametz, and he's going to go eat the food at that point in time. Rabbanu Sabri Lo Gazrina. Therefore, we don't have to make such a gzera. This is a good stopping point. Tomorrow's shiur, we're going to start asking a whole series of questions against Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda apparently does make a gzera, dilma osi l'mechamine, and the Gemara is going to say, umi gozer Rav Yehuda, dilma osi l'mechamine. Does Rav Yehuda really make a gzera in this situation that you may come to eat it while you do the bedikas chametz on Pesach or after Pesach? With this, we conclude today's shiur.